What is up, Michigan Monday? Mason Blue Review. Dennis Fithy in here, ready to talk some Michigan with you. Great to be here, and hope you had a nice weekend. In this first segment, we have something to talk about in terms of coaching. And then the Big Ten basketball tournament is starting on Wednesday. But we're going to start with Michigan football and the news over the weekend that Michigan Mike Hart will not be coming back in 2024. Now, there were a lot of signs about Mike Hart not coming back. The first one, I believe, was when they had the parade on January 13th, 5 days after winning the national title. I was down there, and you saw all the coaches on the backs of the floats or the fire trucks or the pickup trucks, but there was no Mike Hart. But, you know, you thought, hey, what's going on, Mike Hart? But then there was no Mike Hart later that night at the celebration at Chrysler. And then there really wasn't anything with Mike Hart. There's the news that it was a personal reason, a health issue. And so we're all just standing by thinking, okay, well, Sherrone Morrill is really the only one that had to know, you know, what kind of situation it was, whether or not he was going to be able to get back by the time spring practice or what the timetable was going to be there. There's one thing about coaching, and this goes to what I'm going to say about basketball. In the basketball coach, your health, you know, everybody will, you know, we all agree, you know, it's your number one asset. It's the number one thing you have to have. But for coaching, it's a real grind, not just mentally, physically taxing what these coaches are asked to do. A lot of times over the past few years, I told Scar, you should go be an analyst. You should get back into coaching. Scar's like, I don't want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. And in between, just be coaching the whole time or on the phone or traveling. That's what it takes nowadays. If you want to be a coach, and the guys, like, you get to a spot where you're at Michigan, they're very well compensated, and you'll say, sign me up. I'll take a job for $500,000 a year coaching football. And, you know, you would love it. Sure. You probably would love it. I mean, these are great jobs to have, but still, it's still demanding. It reminds me just a little bit when I first went to Detroit and I was covering the Tigers. When the Tigers were at home, my job in 2006, when the Tigers went to the World Series, at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I would head down to the ballpark. And the game, you know, about 7 o'clock, and then a game over at 10, it did post game 11. I'd get home at around midnight. Oh, you know, 3 p.m. to midnight. Not really grueling. You know, you go down, sit in the manager's office, go out on the field, sit in the dugout, talk to a couple players, and then sit there and watch the game. And then afterwards, sit there after you go down to the locker room and come back up and just sit there and then talk about the game. But 3 p.m. to 12, and then, you know, you'd get these 9-game homestands. You're doing it every day. And then on the weekend when they're playing earlier, it's condensed. It's earlier. You get off a little bit earlier in the day. But the baseball, my point about that is that, you know, it would be at the end of a 9-game homestand, and I'd be like, wow, man, it's nothing but baseball all day, all night, every day. Not a whole lot of time in between to do anything else. And then you'd see some of the people that would travel with the team, and they're like, you know, what do you think, buddy? This is every day. When you get down here, we're jumping on a plane, and then we're going somewhere. You think you want to be a baseball writer? You think you want to travel with a baseball team? And everybody's like, yeah, it's exactly what I want to do. I spend all my time anyways just watching baseball or looking at baseball or contemplating baseball. And they do the same thing with football. I don't know. It's tough on this. I get back to Hart, and one part about Michigan, do I think Michigan will be able to survive the loss of Mike Hart? I do. I think that they can do that. There's a part about this, and this is what the rivals will use against Michigan. Michigan has lost their head coach, their entire defensive staff. Really, Michigan only has one coach that will be coaching a position coming back next year. Just one. Just the entire defensive staff is different. Everything else is shuffled around. Sharon Moore is now obviously the head coach. Ron Bellamy is the only one. And, you know, that's something. Something to consider. College football, the biggest thing about college football, it's the head coach. And so Michigan had Jim Harbaugh, who was one of the, you know, whatever you want to say, he was the top three football coaches. And now this is unknown with Sharon Moore and what he is going to be able to do. He's got a lot of new faces. He's got an entire offense that he has to replace, and including the second most important thing for a college football team. It's quarterback, head coach, quarterback. Michigan's got two new ones there. So, and they've got a murderous schedule, the toughest schedule in the nation. Those three things is what Michigan has against it. Now, you come off a national championship and you still feel pretty good, because why? You look over on the defensive side, Michigan's got a stacked defense. They may have the best defense in the country. They're going to need it. They are going to need it, but they do. It's not entirely like, oh, this thing's just going to fall flat. But they have a great defense, and that's a good place to start. And then we'll just see about how things go with the head coach, and then, you know, this new staff, and then overall with the offense. The thing about Hart is that, and it's going to go also to the basketball coach, is when you have a Michigan man, a former Michigan player, a Michigan legend, in Mike Hart, and what Mike Hart did when he played at Michigan, and then also what Mike Hart did as a coach. It just so happened that Mike Hart started coaching at Michigan in 2021. Michigan went to the college football playoff. They beat Ohio State for the first time in forever, and then they won the Big Ten for the first time in 16 years, what was there? And Hassan Haskins was very good in 2021. And 2022, it's kind of the same thing. Not Hassan Haskins, but the duo of Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, they were fabulous. After the college football playoff again, beat Ohio State again, won the Big Ten again. And then last year, Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, that tandem again, as Michigan went undefeated. Three great years for Mike Hart as the running backs coach. So legend, the running backs that he had, and then how Michigan did. Those are all things where you look and you can say, wow, he's going to be tough to replace. Now, I think it was last summer. I don't know who the recruiting analyst was, but there was this, I saw a little bit over on the Maize and Blue Review, people referring to, at first they would say it and then it, like they were joking, but I didn't even know what was going on here. Sometimes people do that. There was an analyst that said Mike Hart wasn't a very good recruiter. And then I was wondering, like, so it's Mike Hart, you know, so you want to be a great coach and you want to be a great recruiter. You want to be both of those things. Not everybody is both of those things. And, you know, whoever this analyst was didn't think Hart was the recruiter, didn't have that type of recruiting prowess for the Maize and Blue. Now, he ended up with C.J. Stokes, who showed some promise. He's in the transfer portal. Cabana got hurt, Cole Cabana out of Dexter. He was pretty highly rated. And then Benjamin Hall, Michigan had him, but then he fell down his own team's depth chart, and then it seemed like everybody was down on him. And then last year at the spring game, Hall looked like Earl Campbell. And now everybody was back. Like, hey, Mike Hart's a great recruiter. I don't know. I guess we'll find out about Benjamin Hall. What we saw from him, though, there were some traits that he showed in the spring game. Doesn't mean that he's going to be the next Anthony Thomas or anything, but he showed a jump cut. He's big. He ran physical, and he showed some speed out in the open field. All the things, like, when you're thinking about what makes a really good running back, and you watch the spring game last year, you're like, this Hall looks the part, looks great. Had great players in front of him. If you wanted to argue to me that Benjamin Hall would lead Michigan in rushing this year, that was going to be your pick. You came in here and said, I like what I saw. He's got everything that you're looking for. A lot of carries. Donovan Edwards is not a bell cow type back, which I would agree with. And Hall's going to be the one. There's a world. There's a Michigan world in where that happens. Now, do I think that that's going to be the case? I think Donovan Edwards will lead Michigan in rushing. And I think Khalil Mullings is going to get a lot of carries. And he is going to surprise a lot of folks. It's surprising that he runs like Earl Campbell. I didn't know that I was going to be bringing up Earl Campbell's name so much today, but who's just somebody's like, who the hell's Earl Campbell? You know, you're 50 some years old. How about he runs. There's only one Derrick Henry. He's just a big thumping back. A goal line back, a physical back, Mullings. And you know, that combination, who's going to be that third guy between Benjamin Hall and the true freshman Jordan Marshall? You get a couple wild cards in there. Cabana would be one, the speedster, the former dreadnought out of Dexter. And then Cabana and a Capanna. Is that right? The Micah Capanna out of Vegas, who's also a true freshman. I know, and I see him, the coach on here, loved his film. Didn't have all of the, I think at first, I don't even know if he was a three-star. And people were like, why is Michigan taking this guy? And then the coach watched his tape, was like, Antoine, who said, I really like this kid. And since then, he's really, he moved up the recruiting rankings. So I'm just going all over my cart talking about his career, coaching career at Michigan, how they replace him. I think there's a lot of people out there, I want a name. Give me the big name. It's going to replace him. He's going to be great. All right. Well, there's a few names out there. So you're a coach, you're a running backs coach, and you have to have a name. You need a coach, and you got to be able to recruit. I saw the name Tyrone Wheatley, who's coaching at Wayne State. And, you know, Wheatley was with Michigan, and then his son was here. And then I don't remember exactly. It didn't seem like when Tyrone Wheatley left, it was like everybody was like, great, you know, we're all happy on both sides here. So I don't know. But that doesn't mean they can't come back and be a Michigan running backs coach. I just remember when he left, it wasn't all, harmony and all of that. There's an Oklahoma running back, played, he's a coach now, but he was a running back at Oklahoma, and he went on to star in the NFL. Where did he play at? Like the Titans. Did he play for the Cowboys too? Cowboys, Titans, or just the Titans? I don't remember. DeMarco Murray. Now, I remember I picked DeMarco Murray to win the Heisman. When he was at Oklahoma, that's how much I liked him. And then I remember DeMarco Murray playing for the Titans, and he kept the king, Derrick Henry, on the bench. They wouldn't put Derrick Henry in because DeMarco Murray was that good. DeMarco Murray's at a top of the list for a lot of people. But if you want to go off the board and say, yeah, what about this coach and that coach? Sure, you know, whatever the ties are for Sherrone Moore and who he likes, and then the information will trickle out, and then you know you can be excited about who that coach would be. And I would be excited if I was a coach out there. You think about Michigan and college football, what Michigan is trying to do. Michigan's trying to run the football. You're the running backs coach. It's a pretty bright spotlight in what Michigan's going to be trying to do. This is there a running back coach? Is there a better place to be? I guess this is my question to you. Would there be a better place to coach running backs than Michigan? There's a few teams that want to run the ball a little bit more. The service academies, and hey, you want to coach it to the Army? All right. But there's not many teams, if any, that are trying to smash and run the football like Michigan. I think Michigan is the place to be if you are a running backs coach. So with that, you should be able to get a pretty good coach. Money should not be any issue. And you've got a coveted job. So I would think that this would be a home run hire. I say home run, you might look at it and say, I've never even heard of this guy, but he's getting a great job. So we will find out if he's a home run hire, but it's a great job to have. So that's where I start. I understand when you're a legend and you talk about Mike Hart and all the success that he had and everything else, people say, oh, that sucks and everything else. And, you know, that's it. So, you know, that's where we're at. And, you know, OT says it's awful. It is awful. You know, that's life too. You know, whatever personal issues, like Mike Hart, if you know, it's easy for me to say, if Mike Hart was 100% healthy, I think Mike Hart would still be the Michigan coach. Now, people do like drama, and if I was looking for some drama, I would go back to, remember Josh Gattis. There's a lot of drama with Josh Gattis. Still, when Harbaugh 2 years ago looked like he was going to leave for the Vikings for about 24 hours, and I think everybody thought that he was going to go, the succession plan was in place, and Josh Gattis was thinking, I'm going to be the next head coach. But Josh Gattis found out because of his personal life that he wasn't going to be considered to be the next Michigan head coach. And I don't know where Mike Hart fell in that line, but it was going to be Sherrone Moore. Even 2 years ago, Sherrone Moore was going to be the head coach if Harbaugh had left then. That's what it was going to be. And then Gattis didn't like that, and he left. And that could have created some hard feelings for Michigan Mike Hart. I thought, where am I? And then even this year when there was the 3-game suspension, Hart got a half game, right? He got a half of the game, which is better than no game. But then, you know, you saw the other guys get a full game. So there could have been something there. Hard feelings for Mike Hart. The head coaching job filled up by Sherrone Moore, but then the offensive coordinator's job, as we all know, you know, the step and the pipeline to be a head coach, that also was not Michigan Mike Hart. So that could be. We hear about the health issues, and we hope Mike Hart is going to be fine, but then there's also this other piece where if you're like, I say drama because I don't know. If that's part of it, that my cart was like, you know, had hurt feelings and, you know, that folded into the health issue. We all know about diving any deeper into the speculating about the health issue, but we do know that the Indiana game, not this last year, but the year before, he collapsed on the sideline. So, you know, it could have something to do with that. I don't know. So those are all the things, the moving parts when it comes down to it. So OT saying it's awful. I'd say that's life. You can say, if we are to speculate on things that we don't know, OT, would you rather have had Mike Hart, if he was healthy, be named the offensive coordinator and kept Campbell as a quarterback's coach and did it that way, where then Mike Hart would still be around, theoretically, and he would be your offensive coordinator. So, you know, that's it. Antoine Wang in, he's speculating about Mike Hart maybe a little salty because he didn't get the position or the medical reasons. Either way, it's our chance to get somebody new and fresh inside the program. Well, that's it. I mean, it's going to be somebody new. It's new and fresh. It's true. That's it. Michael says he wouldn't mind the running backs coach at Wisconsin or Fred Jackson, since he covered for him after his seizure. Well, Fred is still an analyst on this team. The thing about Fred, I hate saying that's a knock because I don't want to come off like ageism or anything, but most of the coaches, when you look at it, Sharon Moore's 37, Kirk Campbell's 37, Fred Jackson's older than I am. So, you're Wink Martindale, 61. So you can say, hey, Wink's up there. Why not Fred? And so, you might be right about that. I don't know, what it takes when you get, and I think Fred would be closer to 70 than he is 60. Do you want to be up at 6 and going to bed at 8 and flying all over the country when you're in your 60s? I don't know. Maybe you do. I don't know how much Wink's going to be doing there. Health is everything, Richard. You're exactly right. The youngsters don't understand, but without it, you have nothing. Right. There's a lot of these things on Twitter. They say, hey, would you take $1 million straight up or $5,000 for every week of the rest of your life? People are like, these are great things to have. And then the numbers, people are like, you're stupid because you took the lump sum. If you're saying you could have perfect health for the next 20 years, or would you take $2 million? I think most everybody would just grab that $2 million and say, I'll just keep my perfect health. Thing is, there's no pill for perfect health, right? You got to work at health. So you could say, I'll take the $2 million and I'll just work on my health. I get both. I take the health and I still don't have $2 million. OT coming back over the top saying Sharon should have done whatever it took to keep Hart. He's easily the best coach on Sharon's staff. Every position coach Sharon hired is a downgrade from what they had. Well, again, since we don't know, OT, it's a fine thing to say that he should have done whatever it took. So, if it wasn't his health, the possibility of elevating him to offensive coordinator is something that you would have done, that's fine. My thing is, hearing anybody say this except Sharon Moore as a offensive coordinator for the last 3 years was in the room with Michigan Mike Hart every day in those offensive meeting rooms. He was also, for the past few years, in those same meeting rooms with Kirk Campbell. So when you're taking the head coaching job, you're thinking, there's nobody that knows Hart and Campbell more than Sharon Moore. And so anybody that's saying, well, I would have taken Hart instead of saying, well, okay, that's fine, but you're not in the meeting rooms with those guys. Like, OT, I know you from being on here, and I know Antoine. But if you and I were on, and the three of us were on some coaching staff together, and we're in the meeting rooms every day, I'm going to have a better idea. And OT, if Antoine was your running backs coach, and I was your wide receivers coach, and you needed an offensive coordinator, you would know. The world might be out there saying, hey, take Fithian. And you might say, I'm taking Antoine. Guy knows his football. He's a great recruiter. Now, this is a point that I was going to bring up, and I forgot about it until now. Richard says, don't forget, Marshall was a big Mike Hart guy. Now, Marshall is Jordan Marshall. Jordan Marshall, the running back out of Cincinnati, Ohio, Mr. Football last year. If this was any other team and they lost their running backs coach, and Michigan fans would immediately say, get after Marshall, get him in the transfer portal. So speculation about Marshall is understandable. Being worried about it, I don't know if you should be worried about it. You got to let it play out. Should I call up Jordan Marshall, have his number, and say, hey, how you feeling about the departure of Mike Hart? You might hit me back and say, I'm going to wait and see who the next head. I'm going to wait and see who the running backs coach is. So maybe when you see who the next running back coach is, that might be the time to text up Jordan Marshall and say, hey, have you talked to your new running backs coach? Or what are you thinking, at that point? But it is something that, do I have that written down or did you just remind me? I think you remind me. Good job, Richard. You're right. Jordan Marshall. Actually, I would say every running back on there. People have been coming after Donovan Edwards since Michigan won the national championship. Big game Dono, the one-armed bandit. I'm sure there have been a lot of bands like, hey, you want to come on in? We'll take you. And the rest of the Michigan running backs are out there. They're all, when your position coach leaves, I would expect that all of those guys are going to get half dozen or dozen. I don't know that they get texts just of tampering or they've, how do you tamper where you don't leave a digital footprint? Oh, you just call their high school coach and you say, hey, we got an opening, or you know, you want to tell them we got an opening. We got an opening and we got cash. We got we got PT and money. So those things are going out. But Jordan Marshall's coach probably got a few calls. Jordan can start next year for us and he can come in. We'll give him $1 million. Sounds like a lot. I don't know. Is that really what's going on? We've got carries and 250,000. That's probably more likely. I don't know. Know who we're dealing with. And a lot of these teams got just endless supply of money. And running back, let's go. Antoine says, forget Hart. If he felt like he was passed over, oh, well, time to move on. Well, we don't know what, again, it could be a health issue that he has to deal with. And if you have to deal with it, can you grind out 70, 80 hours a week? I don't even know what these guys are putting in. Can you fly all around the country, constantly be on the phone if you got a health situation? We don't know that. So it's fine to speculate about, but so I don't know if you're right. And I don't know how much I'm listening to anybody that's telling me that, no, my cart was salty because of this, because you're skipping over the health part that you don't know about. So I know it leads, this opening out there. And I know people like to grab in on those openings when, you have them like that. OT says he will never forget Hart. I personally wish he was the head coach. Well, OT, old Michigan Mike Hart. I remember back covering Michigan when Hart was a player. I remember Mike Hart standing there and everybody, talked about how little he was. And I remember standing next to him thinking, I think I'm the exact same height as Mike Hart. And I think I'm 5'10". Might be a little shorter than that. But people act like Mike Hart was like 5'6" or something. Mike Hart's a good, I guess I'd have to look to see what he measured in at the combine at. But I would bet it would be over 5'9", but maybe a hair short of 5'10". The point about this is I've got a picture up of Sports Illustrated back when it was a cool magazine. Mike Hart on the front there. And yeah, I mean, a beloved player. And then he came back here in the last 3 years have been three of the finest Michigan football seasons ever. Actually, it's the best 3-year stretch since, you want to start going back to the 40s, late 40s, or some of Yost teams. That's where we're at. This is one of the greatest stretches of all time. Hart, the beloved former player, was fabulous as a Michigan running back. The new coach, yeah, we're thinking about a coach and recruiter. Think about all those players that Hart, that Haskins had a fabulous final season. Corum and Edwards are two of the greatest Michigan running backs ever. Corum is. Edwards just comes up big in big games when you need him. And old Mullings, don't sleep on him this year. Okay, here's Marshall's name, and these are the, you know, the four guys that are still here now with Hart gone. And, you know, I get that part. I do get that part when it's somebody like Mike Hart. Let's see what Ferris has to say. Why is Jamie Morris never talked about as being part of the staff? He is in Ann Arbor, and he has a daily show on WTKA. Give him the running back coaching job and give Dennis the afternoon job. I like how you're thinking there. You know, one, Jamie is a relatively new father who is has never coached one day in college football, and now is you know, getting close to 60 years old. You know, it's like what Scar said. I don't know if Jamie's ready to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and then get back at 9 o'clock at night. If he did, he could have thrown his hat in the ring. Talk about a beloved Michigan football player. He could, you know, then you understand it, but that time has passed when it's coming down there. Jamie's not on every day, but almost every day over there. Oh, that. Antoine says he wouldn't be too bad. He's a smart dude. Yeah, the water under the bridge when it comes down to Morris. I mean, just throwing out names of beloved Michigan running backs. I get your point, though. He is around. But that there's zero chance of that happening. That's it. Antoine does want to see more of Mullins. Antoine thinks that Cabana is just like Donovan Edwards. He's going to be a scat back, I believe. You know, scat back has a negative type connotation. Not that I'm saying that you're putting a negative connotation on Cabana. I don't think, you know, Cabana, when you think about what he has, is he has blazing speed. That's where he's a comp to Donovan Edwards. But if Cabana was, I don't know, I go back to the height. If Cabana was like 5'7", 170 or something, I think you would then start talking about a guy as a scat back. Would you be surprised, Antoine, that if I told you that Cole Cabana is 6 feet and over 200 pounds, that's not a scat back. That, do you think Christian McCaffrey, C-Mac, from the 49ers, is he a scat back? He's the best running back in football. Cole Cabana is bigger than he is. So just think about that. This was Cabana's weight as a freshman coming in, 200 pounds, 6 feet. I just looked at McCaffrey. He's 5'11", 210. Could Cabana have put on 5'10 pounds? Same size as Christian McCaffrey, so this part about being a scat back. Donovan Edwards is not a scat back. Donovan Edwards is a home run hitting back. Antoine, you want all of your running backs with cankles, the biggest thighs. You want Earl Campbell. I know that's why you like Khalil Mullings. Boy, you love Khalil Mullings. But you want your backs to look like Blake Corum with, you know, legs like tree trunks. Where I like a back like Cabana who can run a 4.3. Sure, look like he can catch the ball outside, be able to use that speed. I like running backs that have speed. I think Cabana has that. So not a scat back, not agreeing with that. I do know that you love Cabana. You were on him early. All right. Let's see. Andre says he likes it. Cabana and the next McCaffrey. Yeah, I That would be great, wouldn't it? That's why I liked, honestly, I was a little bit fooled on it, but it was like why I liked Dylan McCaffrey so much. Because Christian McCaffrey was already in the pros. Dylan McCaffrey and his dad was an outstanding wide receiver. You know, his mother said his grandfather was like an Olympian or something. Maybe it was his mother. I mean, the bloodlines there. It was just like Dylan McCaffrey's going to be great. And then when he got in, remember the first game he got in was Michigan's actual last non-conference loss was at Notre Dame, I believe in 2018. McCaffrey got in there. And he didn't look too shabby. And then there was some mop-up, a game against Nebraska. He looked pretty good in. I know he took a shot on his shoulder, but I was expecting a earnest quarterback competition between Joe Milton and Dylan McCaffrey. But then Milton, in his shorts, was throwing the ball 80 yards around the lot. And McCaffrey's like, I can't compete with this guy. And then he took off. I was expecting McCaffrey, Dylan, to do something at Northern Colorado or whatever else. But, you know, maybe when your brother, maybe, I don't know, here's some speculation for you. Maybe Dylan looked like a pretty good-looking dude himself. Maybe he went to hang out with Christian and Olivia, I forget her last name, Coppola or whatever it is, his Christian McCaffrey's girlfriend. I've seen some of the pictures of them hanging out in the suite together, Olivia, with all the other, you know, wives and girlfriends. Maybe Dylan was in there. Just forget football. I'm just going to hang out in the suite. And I'll just hang out in the suite for the rest. But it's not a bad. And to go down there, you see Christian after the game. He looks like he's been in a car crash. The bruises all over the place. And you just roll in with Olivia and her friends. And you're like, but dude, I'll take care of it. I don't know. Donovan Edwards is a one cutback, not a scat back. There you go, OT. I'm in on you. I'm with you. Donovan Edwards is not a scat back. Dennis likes a running back like Judkins. Yeah, well, Ohio State's got two excellent running backs. There's no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. We've seen them. Let's see. Ferris is saying Dennis's love for McCaffrey means he has gone. He's got to have a Ozzy Canseco rookie card. So is this because he's his brother and because I like the McCaffreys? I think that's what Ferris is getting at there. Yeah, you know, if you're a successful player and then you have a younger brother, it does happen. You're a junior. You know, your father was great. We all can come up with a lot of examples where that wasn't the case, or that a younger brother, you know, was not like his older brother. You know, so yeah. But there were some things there with McCaffrey. It wasn't like he was just coming in talking about Dylan McCaffrey as a quarterback. It wasn't like sight unseen. I'm like, oh, this guy, although the bloodlines were there and you got excited about it, it actually watched him play a little bit. I thought he was going to beat out Joe Milton from what I saw. Andre says it's too bad that Travion Henderson is made of paper mache. You got a point there. That's it. So that's it for football for me. We'll see what happens with Michigan Mike Hart. So the other thing is, and that's where it's getting with Michigan basketball. And if you really want to hear my assessment on Michigan hoops, I did the Michigan basketball post game live after the game yesterday with Michigan season finale. You have a lot of my thoughts on the team and everything there. But I think what I saw, which is new today, is I saw Juwan Howard's comments after the game. And the comment that I did not like from Juwan Howard is when he said he could have sat the season out, but that's not how he's wired. He's basically acting like, you know, we're looking forward to the summer, coaching the offseason, coming back, running it back, and all those things, which is fine. You know, he should think that he's coming back until he's told he's not. But I don't like that he said that that's not how he's wired. What that is using health as an excuse. And I don't like that. If Juwan Howard in the offseason with heart surgery did not feel like he was up to the task, he should not have coached. Should have stayed on the sideline, recuperated until he felt like he was 100%, and he should have sat out for the entire season. And good luck with your health that way. But when you come back and you take the reins, we are expecting that you had a clear bill of health, that you weren't there and you still had complications or you weren't feeling 100%. You should have checked out and not been the head coach, because going back to like what Michigan Mike Hart, you can't. This is not a player like, hey, you know, the players are never 100%. You got to be 100% when you're the coach. And you're not going to use that as an excuse, because that's not how you're wired. That is an indictment of yourself. When you are a player, you are wired to run through a brick wall, play injured, do anything else. Juwan Howard is not a player anymore. He is a coach. Juwan Howard still acts like he is a player. That's how he is wired. He has not been able to make the transition. Sit out. You cannot use health as an excuse. You can't say that's how you're wired. He was sitting on the bench before he was cleared to be the head coach, and he got a T down in the Bahamas because he's not wired to be a head coach in college. Bad wiring. Not a head coach. Doing things that other coaches have never done in the history of the game are not okay, because you're wired a certain way. You let Phil Martelli coach a game because you're back in Philly, because you think it would be a nice gesture. That's great. We're not out here playing nice tiddlywinks and everything else. Let's let this guy be the coach. Let's let a fan come on down and be a coach. By the way, you could have pulled a fan out. This is why Ward Manuel is going to need to replace Juwan Howard. You could have pulled anybody out of the stands and had them as the head coach this year, and Michigan wouldn't have done any worse. This was the worst Michigan basketball team ever that Juwan Howard was wired on the sideline for. And he did this Martelli one-game wonder stuff. Ridiculous. You know what you need to be wired to do is get along with your players, get along with your coaching staff, get along with your strength and conditioning coach. He was not able to do that. Out. The Sanderson situation. He wasn't wired to get along with his coach or somebody that's giving him the pushback. That's acting like you're a player. Out. And then we all know what's happened the last couple seasons. The slap swing at whiskey. Can't do that. Chasing around a coach like you're going to attack him on the floor after a Big Ten tournament game like he did against Maryland. I've never seen that in the history of college basketball, a coach acting crazy like that. He's not wired to be a college basketball coach. He told on himself yesterday when he said he could have sat the season out, which is an excuse for his health, because now that he was on there, because that's not how he's wired. I got bad news for Ward Manuel. If he really is thinking about keeping Juwan Howard as his head coach. I like Michigan basketball. I'd like to see them succeed. I like Juwan Howard. I wish him the best of health. Nobody is going to give a dime to any Michigan basketball collective moving forward if Juwan Howard is retained by Ward Manuel. That's another reason that he has to go. Nobody has any confidence in this basketball program. Why would anybody commit a dime to this program? That's where you're at, Ward, with it. You can't use the health situation. That was bad by Juwan Howard. But Juwan Howard has been learning on the job. We all gave him a break. We know that. When he got in, he's like, oh, I can't say the name. Oh, shucks. Yeah, I've been in the pros. He hasn't learned. He's not a college basketball coach. Go to the pros. Go somewhere else. Done at Michigan. And when Michigan folds up like they do every second half of every game on Wednesday night in Minneapolis, that should be it. Everybody knows it, apparently. And we're going to see if the athletic director is up to the challenge. If the athletic director is ready to take his place next to Dave Brandon, he will bring Juwan Howard back. But instantaneously, the program, which has no relevancy, will stay there and will go under rock bottom because nobody is investing their time or their money in the basketball program because there's nothing that shows any promise. And what you have to have, if you're a coach nowadays, you can't cry about admissions. Well, he can't get anybody in. Well, he is going to have to figure that part out on the job like everybody else has to. Should he have ever entertained the idea of getting Terrence Shannon Jr. from Texas Tech? Because Terrence Shannon Jr. was going to have to take a bunch of summer school classes. Was he like, oh, I'm going to take the classes? Was that realistic? Ask yourself, was that realistic? If he's probably not. Was it realistic that Antonio Reeves was lighting it up for Kentucky? Hell of a player. Yeah, he wasn't going to be able to get in with the transfers and everything else. I don't even know. Why was that name? Michigan needed to. They have the opportunity to get 20 people on the phone and say, these guys can't get in. There's nothing to Reeves. There's nothing to Shannon. There's nothing to Caleb Love, who had 0% chance, it seemed like. A 0% chance of getting in. Why did they let that entertain and be out there at all? It looked like they weren't working behind the scenes to get anybody else. Too many guys. No chance at Reeves, no chance at Love, no chance at Shannon. That could have, if people were thinking that there was a chance with this basketball program, maybe they would invest it and tried to take a run and keep somebody like Hunter Dickinson. But that's all gone now. Nobody's coming in. And this program's going to be in the same spot it is next year. Mark it. Mark my words, this is ahead of the game on Wednesday. I still think that Ward will have to come to the same conclusion as everyone else, that the basketball program, how it's currently being run, has no future, and he will have to make a change. So that's how I see it. All right. Get a couple more in here. We've got Gavin, who says, what about Fat Brooks, who's coming in from Grand Rapids Central? What about him? I'm going to tell you this, Gavin. From the day he sets foot on campus, he needs to be indoctrinated in how to play defense, in how to play college basketball on both sides of the floor. The players that Juwan Howard have brought in, none of them play defense. None of them try to play defense. None of them act like they play defense, and none of them can play defense. I have to conclude that they're not serious about playing defense at Michigan. This was the worst defensive team I have ever seen. I know a lot of it follows. They're the worst second half team I've ever seen. They're the worst defensive team I've ever seen because they're their worst team ever. So you're going to have a lot of worse. But the thing is they don't pride themselves on competing on the defensive end. And that has to be something that when you're stepping foot on camp, and now I wonder when Juwan Howard's out there recruiting, if they even look, are they just watching like, oh, hey, he looks pretty good on the offensive side. Who cares what else happens? Let's just bring him in. These guys, all of these guys that they're bringing in, Fat Brooks, Anderson, Ruth, if he somehow decides that he's going to come in now. Are these guys coming in because they're like, hey, we don't have to play defense. We can just light it up. We can just come out, throw up shots. We don't care about grinding it out on defense. I have to conclude that Fat Brooks can't play defense. Michael says, it's the end of the discussion. They will be back. OT says he said that because other people on another podcast were suggesting he sit out the season. He should have sat out the season. It's a different story if you actually do sit out the season. If Juwan Howard would have sat out the season and then we would have had the exact same thing, we'd be sitting here and saying, you know, hey, Juwan had a health issue. And yeah, the season went by the boards, but you don't have your head coach. You know, how can you can demand anything? It's a rough situation. You could think about, well, maybe he'll resign because of a health situation. You know, where is he at with his health? And if he came out after the season, like Thursday when Michigan gets beat on Wednesday, and then he had sat out the entire season, and then he said, you know, I just started feeling, because he told the guys on the game I was watching last week that he had just started feeling like himself. Like a month ago. He probably should have set out the season. But the thing is, if you're a head coach and you don't set out the season, then we are going to assume that everything that goes with being a head coach, you're going to be judged on that. It would be a different story if he would have set out the season. So whoever those people that you're talking about, that you're listening to on another podcast that suggested that he did set out the season, they could be right. It would be a different situation. Ferris saying, is this Ward Manuel's fault for not forcing Juwan to sit out? Hey, look, you have your medical staff. Juwan has his doctors. Those doctors have protocols and steps that there's things that you have to do to be able to get back to your job. I don't know what kind of stress tests and what kind of protocols they were putting him through. I would think you would too, that all of these doctors understand that it is a sweat box, mentally challenging, a grinder to go through a college basketball season. Would he ignore what the doctors are saying? I'm going out there because that's how I'm wired. Obviously, that's how he's wired. Even when he was sitting down there and he wasn't the head coach, he was picking up a tee. But no, if you're Ward Manuel, when it comes to the health, it's like a football player. If he gets 100% clear, it's coming up to the Ohio State game and you're going through and you say, Doc, how is he? And they say, we are clearing him. He can play. Okay. Then he can play. It's the same thing with a coach. So no, it's not Ward Manuel's fault that you can't force the head coach to sit out. I'm looking at a couple other ones. The one thing, OT, you're talking about other, you know, I don't know. I don't, when we're getting over there, I know that you like Howard. But he put his foot in his mouth when he said that He could have set out the season, but that's not the way he's wired. You should be. The wiring is his problem. He's got at least five instances where he has showed faulty wiring. And the instance this year with whatever happened, the report is damning towards him, but I don't know, because I know there's two sides to a story, even if Michigan's not going to say their story, with what happened with Sanderson. I know everybody else is piling on him because Michigan has said nothing about it. And if he comes back, somebody needs to be down there in that press room and press him on what the hell happened with Sanderson and how he could still be the head coach. Explain it to me, because I have seen what is being said and what is being reported. And if his story is completely different, I need to hear it. I don't need to hear, like, those are things that we're not talking about. Well, you better talk about it, because you got a zero. I know what a zero tolerance policy means. If there was a zero tolerance policy for me yelling on this podcast, I would be fired, because that's all I've done for the last 5 minutes is yell. Juwan Howard had a zero tolerance policy when it came down to his situation with his anger. And then it looked like he got an anger issue with Sanderson. Verbal disputes, back and forth, this kind of stuff. What? That was not a zero. Even if there is his side of the story, even if there's not going to say it. Is it all over on the other side where no. Sanderson was, he was making all this up. Juwan did nothing. Juwan never even stood up. He stayed with his zero tolerance. I have a hard time believing that. That he didn't fault on his zero tolerance policy that he had to have. Maybe Weber and Rose can donate to save the program. Maybe. Somebody cut a check last year to get Olivier Kamwa. I would guess it was Jalen Rose. Maybe Chris Weber. Seems like the time for this is past for the Fab Five. I know they got together for the first time at Chrysler this year, and it was a great scene. Actually won the game on the sideline, all the guys in the office. I like seeing it. But where were those guys when, and it's weird because I know Chris Weber stuffed $280,000 in his pocket back in the day of Ed Martin's money that he was trying to wash with him, and then got busted for it and had to admit it and everything. And then, you know, it's all water under the bridge and everything. But where were these guys? With their head coach. The basketball NIL needs money. And they don't seem like they can get any. They're not getting any now. All right. We'll take a couple more here. Jason says, here's a thought. After the podcast yesterday, go to sleep. Your frustration's off. Guess not. Yeah, you know, the thing about yesterday is that I didn't see – I start the podcast when the game ends. I didn't see what Juwan Howard had to say. And then when he makes an excuse that he could – that or he tells everybody that he could have sat out the season, but that's not how he's wired – what it makes me do is I will at least, this is my promise to everybody that's watching this, I will ask Josh Henschke, the publisher at the Maize & Blue Review, that next year for basketball season, I would like to, in some games, maybe it could be all games, I would like to, I don't think that there's going to be a huge line for the media lining up to get a pass to go see Michigan basketball. I think I'm going to have to get down there too. It's nothing against anybody that's covering it now, but the questions need to be asked. I wasn't there yesterday. If Juwan Howard would have said, he would have said, but that's not how he's wired, I would have come back and say, but coach, you did coach. So that's an excuse. I wouldn't say it like that. Why didn't you sit out? What's going on with Sanderson? I don't know if those questions got asked. You'd say he did answer it. He said it's not how he's wired. So I'd have to, that would be a fair point. I would have to say, if he talked about that's not how he's wired, I would have to ask him if he feels like he needs to adjust his wiring. Because the way that he is wired, if that is the reason, and then the thing with Sanderson, and then the slap swing and the chasing around the coach, the anger issues, what are you doing to address your wiring? The wires are not hooked up right with Howard. And he's using his health as an excuse. I don't like that. And neither should you. How could anybody like it? Michael doesn't like our chances with Penn State Wednesday. Well, it's got to the point, and then you don't need to. Like, you just say, well, would you have gone to the game yesterday? Were you rooting against Michigan? I think Ward Manuel was looking, he's looking for anything to try to keep his embattled coach. And, you know, one measly little dub against Penn State, back. This team fought, played for their coach. If they just bow out on Wednesday night, then I'm not really sure how any athletic director in their right mind could keep Howard. And nobody's fallen for the health. No, the coach fought because that's how he's wired. Nobody likes that line. Faulty line. So nobody's going for the health reason. Nobody is going to support the program. Nobody's buying tickets and nobody's donating any money. And then the biggest indictment is that none of these players play for the coach. Nobody plays defense. Nobody fights. Nobody has any pride. That's why you'll have a new coach coming up next year. Oh, but they'll get that W on Wednesday. And then Ward will go out and say that the coach is coming back. There we go. We'll see on that. All right. That's it. Join us on Wednesday. Jim Scarcelli will join us. And then Wednesday night, we'll have a little doubleheader on Wednesday. We'll talk with Scar Wednesday at 2, and then Michigan in the first round of the Big Ten basketball tournament against Penn State around 8:30. Join us for the Michigan basketball postgame live show afters. We'll be talking about the game and what we saw out there. All right. Smash that like button. And if you have a friend that follows Michigan, has even one little bit of interest in Michigan, tell them to follow the Maize and Blue Review Pods, the VCAS, and we will owe you everything for that. We appreciate it. That is a wonderful gesture by all of you. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Beautiful weather out here. It's already up to, it says 55 degrees. We got a double nickel in Washtenaw County. I'm going to enjoy it. I hope you do too. See you later. Bye.